You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 12th of November 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's Friday once again, the weekend is almost here and you know what that means? It means we have Grandpa Dan with us today all the way from Texas. Dan, good day sir, how are you doing?
Well, you know, the weekend is almost here and that's by pure coincidence, I'm almost here. Well, I'm mostly here. I'm mostly coherent today. You know, I'm more coherent than Joe Biden. So, you know, we've got that going for us. But yes, I'm here today, doing great. It's fall. It's nice. It's not hot anymore. And it seems like it only lasts about 2 weeks, but I'm enjoying it while I can before winter gets here. So, yeah, great to be here for another Friday, another installment of Clown World in Review. I'm sure nobody's going to dislike our discussion today.
They certainly aren't, because today we're going to be talking about the dislike button on YouTube. The dislike button on YouTube has now been removed in the same way that the dislike button was removed from Twitter. YouTube has officially hidden the thumbs down counter on all videos from public view, citing dislike attacks. It said we're targeting small channels, but critics say the official White House channel will benefit the most. Well, what is going on here? I mean, don't we need to have these likes and these dislikes? Isn't that what makes the algorithms work? Doesn't it mean that if you see a video that is useless, it's actually no good whatsoever, it doesn't talk about the things that you want it to, it doesn't explain the things that you want it to, then you press the dislike button and then people are warned that that's not going to be a very good video to watch. I mean, that is the point of this, and their reasoning for this is they're saying it's because people are disliking videos because they dislike the creator. Well, yeah, that's the point, isn't it? If you don't like the presenter and they're not explaining what you want them to explain, then you want to be able to dislike them. And this is the case with the White House channel. People dislike what Joe Biden has to say, so he gets millions of dislikes on there. And now they're trying to hide this. They're trying to pretend that, in actual fact, everybody really does like Joe Biden and he really is the most popular president that has ever existed. It's just another form of censorship, another way of making it look like people are going along with what the mainstream media are pushing. Because, of course, the mainstream media also gets a lot of these dislikes. It's just another way of falsifying history, isn't it? Because you can look back on YouTube and you can look back and see the dislikes on videos from last year or the year before, and you can gauge what public opinion was of whatever is being talked about in that news report. You won't be able to do that anymore. You will just be able to see that there's a video there that's been seen lots of times, and you'll have no idea whether anybody liked it or whether they disliked it. I mean, this is very dishonest, isn't it? What do you make of it, Grandpa?
Well, it's even worse than if they simply took the dislike button, the thumbs down button away, because my understanding is they're leaving the dislike, the thumbs down button there. They're just taking the counter off. So you see the thumbs up, you know, the like, the dislike button, but then you're going to see like all of these likes, but yet the dislikes, even though you're clicking it, the dislikes don't actually show up. Of course, YouTube is, you're right. It breaks the algorithm, just like search engines are now worthless. One of my frustrations that happens at least once a week is if I'm searching for something, some sort of information, you know, nothing controversial, like, oh, I need information how to fix something. And, you know, you look it up, and I'm old enough, and you are too, Sven, to remember when it actually worked. You used to could go in and search, and you might have to modify your search a little bit, but boom, you could find the relevant information. And the search engines are broke. They've broken the algorithms because they've banned so much that now you can't find any information. It's like, oh, how do I fix, you know, I've got this problem with, say, this 1992 Ford pickup. And you search it in, and it'll come up with, you know, hey, want to buy a brand new Ford pickup? It's like, that has nothing to do, you know, and it doesn't have anything to do with what you're searching for. They've broken the search engines. And likewise, they've broken YouTube. YouTube used to have, you know, some entertaining content on it. I mean, the whole idea when they started it was, oh, well, basically, people create a channel. They think they've got something interesting to say or an interesting point of view. And it gave everybody kind of a chance, a platform. You could become a YouTuber. You could actually like make a living as a YouTuber, like your own celebrity thing. And of course, then they banned everybody who had anything interesting to say. It's basically been cleansed now. And all you're going to find on YouTube is just the same narrative that you can get from the mainstream media, from the regime. So it's completely useless. The only thing I don't even mess with YouTube really anymore. The only thing I look on YouTube is if I'm trying to find certain anime or Korean drama, Korean or Japanese music, I can still find that on YouTube for now, though probably now that I said that, they'll probably ban all of it because, you know, it'll be somehow linked to hatred or something. But yeah, no, it's become completely useless. The original purpose of the platform to allow people to go out there and see it, you know, because people, like I say, it's feedback is important because, like, say you're somebody and you're going to create a YouTube channel and you think you've got something interesting to say. Well, if all your videos get disliked to oblivion, then it's a good feedback that, you know, really you don't have. You don't really have anything interesting to say. Now, this article focuses on the White House channel, but it's beyond that because we've seen time and time again these people put out these videos, whether it's expoundings of virtue of critical race theory or whatever. Anyway, any kind of part of the narrative that's put out by the regime, any kind of shit-lib narrative, then they wind up getting all of these dislikes and they don't want the negative feedback. So it's like a soft banning. Well, we've already banned content creators who have an opposing view. But you see, the problem is these people that aren't banned, they're still able to go on there and give feedback that they dislike this part of the narrative. So we're going to actually ban not just creating content opposing the narrative. We're going to ban people just not liking the narrative. You're not only going to not be able to oppose the narrative. Now you can't even click a button to say, yeah, I don't really like the narrative. That's where we're at now with the level of censorship.
Yeah, they're taking away our ability to dissent, aren't they? As you point out, they've prevented us from actually explaining why we dissent, and now we're not able to dissent at all simply just by saying we dislike this. And their excuse for doing this is that they want to give everyone a voice. They literally say that in the video about this if you watch it. We want to make sure that everyone has a voice, apart from the voice of the people that dislike the videos. They're now having their voice taken away. The Google-owned platform announced on Wednesday, we are making the dislike counts private across YouTube, but the dislike button is not going away. This change will start gradually rolling out today. Creators will still be able to see the dislike count in the back-end settings if they choose to do so. So again, what is the point of doing that? It's not actually going to help the people out who are looking through YouTube for what they're wanting to see. And people like Joe Biden and people like the mainstream media, they're just going to ignore that. You know, this was one of the great things about YouTube was that it was interactive and you could interact with the people that were creating the videos on there. And you can now no longer interact with them. You can only interact with them if you're going to say positive things about them. And the people that have alternative views, they've just been cleansed entirely from there. Well, officially, the move is intended to counter dislike attacks and to help better protect our creators from harassment. Matt Koval, YouTube's creator liaison, said that people engaged in such coordinated attacks were doing this because they don't like the creator or what they stand for. Well, yeah, well, that's the point of it, isn't it? If you don't like what the video stands for, that's what the dislike button is for. It's not that people are misusing it. That's exactly what the button was there for. And how is it harassment for people to say that they don't actually like a video? That has now moved forward into harassment. I mean, are they going to make it illegal to dislike woke videos? That will be the next step. And this dislike attacks. So basically, the left, when lots of people dislike their videos, they claim that it's an attack. It's an attack on them, as if it's an actual physical violent attack, and as if it's a coordinated attack. I mean, they just cannot understand that people actually don't like a lot of the woke ideology, the social justice ideology, this progressive ideology. Most people don't like it, and they just don't understand that. They refuse to accept reality, and they believe that this is all coordinated attacks. What do you make of their allegations here, Grandpa? Do you think they're truthful, or do you think this is really what's going on?
Well, yeah, this whole calling it dislike, this term dislike attacks, it's an attack. This is so much hand waving, because the thing is, you can hit the dislike button, you know, but you can only do it one time. So it's not like if you got a video up there and it has 5 likes and 10,000 dislikes, it's not like, you know, somebody sat there and hit the button 10,000 times. That means that 10,000 actual people disliked what you had to say. You know, they say dislike attacks, like, oh, people are coordinating and saying, oh, well, but there's 5 of us and we'll go all go in there and hit the dislike button over and over and over again to make this twisted perception that nobody likes the video. No, if there's 10,000 dislikes, that means 10,000 real people did not like what you were saying. They just tried to eliminate. It's just the same thing, you know, taken to the next level. Like you said, we're not allowed to give, you know, explain why we disagree. Now you're not even allowed to click a button and say, yeah, I dislike what they're saying. You know, it's at some point in time, what? I mean, are they going to ban you for hitting the dislike button? And to claim, it's completely disingenuous to claim that they're doing this to, you know, protect small content creators. You know, protect is for the little man. We're doing this for the little man. Well, no, we know who they're doing it for, because virtually nobody likes this woke business. Nobody likes the shit lib, you know, woke, we're outraged this week about this or that, or, you know, essentially we're going to blame everything on white people. Then nobody really even likes that crap. And any kind of feedback that points out to them that, you know, they are the minority, because all of this narrative, you know, the fact that everybody's been banned from social media, everybody's been, you know, that has a dissenting opinion, I should say, that's been banned from social media. They're all trying to present the impression. They're trying to give the impression that these people are like the majority. When you hear, oh, some big news story, oh, the Twitter mob got outraged because this guy said something 5 years ago in what he thought was a private email. Now he's got to be fired and lose their job. They give this narrative. They're presenting this idea that they're this huge mass of people and they're very powerful, so everybody has to listen to them. But see, when they put this stuff out in video form and, oh, we're outraged, look, this person said this, and you look and like 5 people liked it and, you know, 100,000 people disliked it, it tears apart that narrative. They're trying so hard to present this narrative that the social justice crap is somehow the majority viewpoint, but it isn't. It isn't. And they're trying with the bannings, and now they're going to get rid of the counter for the dislikes. They're trying to reinforce the narrative that no, this is what everybody thinks. This is, everybody actually agrees with critical race theory. Everybody actually agrees with child trannies. Everybody actually agrees with anti-white race hate agenda. They're trying to promote that. And of course, if you can allow everybody to vote, to have a vote, once again, we're supposed to be in the democracy where everybody gets a vote, but you don't get to vote to say, I don't like this. I thought we were all about the values of the democracy where everybody gets a vote. You don't even get the simple vote of saying you dislike the SJW, the shit lib, the regime agenda. No, you can't do that. Everybody is going to be forced to vote only one way. Their vote, literally, your vote only gets counted one way, and that's if you like the leftist agenda, because we know what that's about. There, not that there's anybody left on YouTube that has like a nationalist message, because we, you know, since they're all gone, this literally is just about people disliking the narrative, disliking the woke agenda, the SJW agenda, whatever you want to call it. That's all it's about. It's the next level of silencing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point that you bring up there, the democratic angle to it, because it is so hypocritical. Because what you've essentially got there, you've got the like button, which is a vote for, you've got the dislike button, which is a vote against, and they take away the ability to vote against. It's the same with the internet. The internet used to be so democratic. It was wonderful. If something had been written and it was popular, it rose to the top of the rankings because it was the most watched page on the internet on that subject. So it would rise to the top. The algorithms would rise it to the top. And that was how it should work. It was democratic. And then they said, oh, no, we can't have this. The algorithms are somehow secretly racist, and they're radicalizing people through the algorithm. It was basically a democratic algorithm. Now that's been completely broken, as you say, Grandpa. Google is absolutely useless, and I do recommend people use Yandex instead. Just type yandex.com into your Google browser, and you'll get the Russian search engine there, and you'll find that the Russian search engine works very similar to how the Google search engine used to. The Russians do still have a democratic internet. Well, this Matt Koval, he continued, he says, it is much less likely to cause stress and embarrassment if the count isn't visible to the public. So now they're bringing in mental health into this. They're claiming that people get stressed and embarrassed. Well, if they've made a video that people dislike, do they not want to know about this? They just want to force the public to continue watching these videos that they don't actually like? I mean, isn't that even more embarrassing? Wouldn't you want to know if you'd made something that wasn't actually popular, or it didn't really succeed? What they're saying here is, no, you don't want people to tell you that. You just want them to talk amongst themselves about it, I guess. In the comment section to this, that people had come up with some solutions, and they said, well, you can just type dislike in the comments, can't you? Which I guess would be one way around this. But then I suspect they would probably end up getting rid of comments altogether. What do you make of this allegation, Grandpa, that it causes stress and embarrassment to have the dislike counter on there?
Well, I mean, you hit on the disabling the comments altogether, because we already see that on a lot of these mainstream media narrative videos or any sort of shitlib leftist videos. A lot of them will see now that they've disabled the comments. You used to remember back in the day, I mean, just basically you could go to any news article or any news website or read a story on anything, be it Yahoo or whatever, you know, and they would have comments, and you could go through the comments, and it was the same problem. You'd have this article expounding the virtues of, you know, the globalist elite or whatever. And but yet, you know, oh, yes, everybody agrees with this. But then you'd go to the comments and it's like, no, 99% of the people disagree with this. So then they just disabled comments. And yes, I'm sure we're already seeing them doing that with YouTube. They're disabling comments. They don't want you voicing that. Now you're not even going to be able to dislike the videos. So that's not going to show up. They're just trying to, again, get rid of any sort of feedback. And again, this stress and embarrassment. But who's going to be stressed and embarrassed? Is CNN going to be stressed and embarrassed because nobody likes their video content? You would think the feedback, as we've been pointing out, would be important. Like maybe you could just alter your presentation a little bit if it was actually about small content creators. But it's not. It's about the regime. It is about what CNN or the White House or MSNBC videos they put up. That's what it's about. It's not about, they don't care about small content creators. They don't care about that at all. So yeah, no, I mean, it's just, like I say, it's more hand waving to try to get the topic, you know, onto, oh, we're just doing this. See, we're doing this good thing. We're putting this duct tape over your mouth. We're silencing. We're not going to let your votes count, you know, because we're doing this virtuous thing. Somebody might have stress and embarrassment. Somebody might have stress and embarrassment over it. So see, we're doing this good thing. So by silencing you, now you can't only say you disagree with it and why. Now you can't even click a button and say you disagree with it.
Well, you know, the other side of this as well. I mean, if people dislike the video, then they've actually watched the video, haven't they? And that means that the video will go up in the rankings. So the people that get their videos disliked, they still end up you know, getting suggested to people because they have actually been viewed in order for the person to actually press the dislike button. So it doesn't really help the smaller creators, although that is their excuse here. According to YouTube, such behavior unfairly targeted smaller creators and those just getting started. I mean, how can it be unfairly targeting them? As you pointed out, Grandpa, it's one man, one vote. If you watch the video and you don't like it, you can click the dislike button. How is that unfair? It seems very fair to me. What seems unfair is to take that ability away so that people can only like a video and they're not allowed to register their disgust or their dissent. When they say it unfairly targeted smaller creators and those just getting started, which was confirmed by an internal experiment they conducted in July. Yes, an internal experiment that is contradicted by everybody else's experience that was not internal. I wonder if they'll actually produce the results of this experiment so that we can actually check them. Well, since the change was tested in March, critics have pointed out that its main beneficiary wouldn't actually be the small channels, but the White House, whose 1.9 million subscriber official channel has been constantly dislike ratioed since the start of the Biden administration. I think I can remember Biden's first speech, and it only had about 600 views on the White House channel. And he really does get massively ratioed on there, which you would imagine would be impossible since he's the most popular president in all of history. So why is it that he is getting disliked so much on YouTube? Any ideas, Grandpa, why Joe Biden is getting disliked on YouTube?
Yeah, it's a complete mystery. No, this illustrates how, you know, they keep having, you know, when somebody has to silence the other person, they either have lost the argument or they're lying, you know, and of course we have the election of Joe Biden. If it's to be believed as presented to us, he was the most popular person to ever run for president in the history of the United States, which is absurd on its face. And of course, one of the things that would highlight this is, oh, here he is giving a press conference. Well, since these millions and millions of Biden's fans, you know, are no doubt tuning in to watch his videos because he's so popular, he should have this huge like ratio. And of course, we don't see that. We see that everybody dislikes it. So it flies in the face of the lie that he's the most popular person to ever run for president in the history of the United States. So they've got to bring up more coercion, more shutting it down, more silencing, more censorship, you know, to cover up the lie, because it's a big, huge lie that there's no fraud in the election. It's a big, huge lie that he's the most popular person that ever ran for president in the history of the country. And you just see they constantly have to double down. You always run into this with liars because they always have to get more and more out there to cover up the other massive amounts of lies they've told before. So you always see they have to double down, then ultimately they just have to tell you to shut up. Just shut up and quit arguing with me. You're causing us stress and discomfort. And so, yeah, you know, obviously this is, like I said, it's not about small content creators. It's about the White House, about CNN. It's about MSNBC. And one common denominator here is they're all promoting the same agenda, which the people don't like. And again, this is supposed to be the democracy where everybody gets a voice, but obviously it isn't. So, yeah, it's more of a doubling down. They're just trying to make it to the point to where the only narrative you get is their narrative. The only point of view you get is their point of view. You're supposed to think, well, I'll just go along with it because that's what everybody else thinks. And we see this in these news articles. They pose as news articles, you know, and these drive me crazy. And it'll be like this outrageous headline. And you're like, oh, all of these people are upset about this, or, you know, oh, all these people. And you go to the article and there's like one paragraph written by the quote unquote journalist. And the rest of the article is nothing but copy paste links from Twitter, from randos on Twitter. And that's the news article. And that's all to present this narrative that this is the way everybody thinks. This is the way everybody feels about this. This is the view of everybody around you, your neighbors, your friends, your family. See, they all look the same way. So if you disagree with that, you're the odd man out. And it is a way to apply like a social pressure to get everybody to go along.
You know, this 1.9 million subscribers to the White House channel, that really isn't that many when you think that Donald Trump had 90 million followers on Twitter, and yet Joe Biden just has 1.9 million subscribers to his official channel. Another beneficiary of this could be YouTube itself, as their 2018 Rewind amounted to the most disliked video ever. Now, just think about that. This is YouTube themselves who have instituted all this censorship, got rid of all these creators. And the response to that is that their video, which was supposed to be of the best videos on YouTube of 2018, it actually turned out to be the most disliked video ever. Now, if this was any normal company, they would look at that and maybe they would change direction. Maybe they would think, well, this isn't good. The shareholders aren't going to like this because everybody is disliking this. But no, they just keep going. They just kept going with the censorship. And they're now just going to remove the dislike button. I mean, it just goes to show that it's not a money-making business, is it really? That's not what they're interested in. What they're really interested in is social engineering. They're interested in falsifying history, falsifying public opinion, trying to shape public opinion. And all this guff about people being able to have their own voice is just nonsense. I mean, that's got to be the fact of it. Otherwise, they would have changed direction, I would have thought, after having the most disliked video ever, don't you think, Grandpa?
Yeah, this reminds me of whenever they have, like, you know, oh, this whistleblower has come out. You know, we've been getting these stories either from Facebook or Twitter, and this person comes out and they're a whistleblower from Facebook. They're a whistleblower from Twitter. They're a whistleblower from some social media company. But you ever notice that the thing they're whistleblowing is that they're not doing enough censorship? The problem is they're not banning enough people. You know, so it's like they put these whistleblowers out here to justify what they're going to do anyway. They're going to crack down and ban more people and act like, well, we got embarrassed by this whistleblower that came out and said, we're hesitant to ban even more people, to silence even more people's opinions and voices. But we're doing it as a result. We got caught. We got caught by this whistleblower. Everybody wants more people banned, and we just haven't been doing that. So we're going to have to crack down. It makes me think of that. You know, they come out and say, well, we're just, you know, these poor small content creators, you know, we're just trying to help out. And well, yeah, we're going to have to, you know, basically silence more people. We're going to have to do more censorship, because this getting rid of the dislike thing, it is another form of censorship. Like I said before, they've already pretty much banned anybody with another opinion. So the next level of censorship is just getting rid of the counter, to where even if you hit the dislike button, nobody will ever know. Just kind of like voting for Donald Trump was. You voted for Trump, but nobody's ever going to know. We're just going to get told that Joe Biden was the most popular president ever in the history of the world.
Well, you may think it's a coincidence, but the proposal to remove the dislike counter was first floated soon after this 2018 Rewind amounted to the most disliked video ever. And that was in February 2019. Koval denied this was the case, though, although he then acknowledged that YouTube has since given up on the annual Rewind series. So they gave up on this series of telling everyone what the most popular videos were, which actually weren't the most popular videos. They were the most disliked videos of all. And now they've removed people's ability to actually dislike any videos at all on there. So it does seem as if it's all about protecting YouTube themselves from criticism and protecting Joe Biden. But he says this is about protecting all creators and making sure they have a chance to succeed and feel safe in doing so, pointing out that other platforms don't even have a dislike button. Well, shouldn't YouTube be trying to be an original platform? Shouldn't they be trying to be different? I mean, it's no excuse to say, well, the other platforms don't have one. They used to have one. They used to have a dislike button on Twitter, but they got rid of it. So they're basically now trying to falsify history again and claim that these platforms never did have a dislike button, just like they're trying to claim that there never was any support for Donald Trump. There never were any right-wing accounts on Twitter. And they have to add this bit here about feeling safe in doing so. I mean, just when did it happen that safety became linked with people just saying that they disliked your video on YouTube or somebody criticizing you on Twitter? I mean, these are just words on the internet. That's all they are. Why is it going to make anybody feel less safe because they've discovered that somebody didn't like their left-wing video? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. What do you make of these points here that he raises, this Koval raises, Grandpa?
Well, I mean, yeah, liars are going to lie. And again, they double down to cover up the lies. When he comes out so vehemently, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with our own video being hugely disliked. Well, yeah, why doesn't he give us a justification of why it was so disliked? What did they put forth that so many people disliked it? But they try to hand wave and dismiss that and say, oh, that was just an attack. You see, that was people getting together and saying, hey, let's somehow skew the results of this video that everybody actually really does like, and let's somehow coordinate thousands and thousands of people to click the dislike button. It's just liars doubling down. And so, of course, it's exactly what it's about. And again, they talk about protecting all creators, but they're not, because they've already banned so many creators. If they were really about protecting content creators, they would have protected content creators. And of course, they have to throw the feels in there. It's feeling safe. You have to feel safe from what? If somebody actually posts like a real death threat or something, that's already against the law. I mean, that's, you can be tracked down and prosecuted for actually threatening to do bodily harm to somebody. So what are we talking about? Feeling safe. You got to feel safe. They don't feel safe if somebody dares to disagree with them. It's absurd. Of course, it's absurd. But to act like they actually have the nerve to stand up there and say this is about protecting content creators when they banned virtually anybody who with an opposing view on YouTube. I don't know why anybody would even try to start a YouTube channel. I don't even know what would be safe anymore, because, you know, I guess you could do some kind of generic cooking channel or something. I guess that's okay. And I think YouTube, by and large, is being replaced. You know, we talked earlier about the original intent of YouTube is people kind of, you know, try to be little mini celebrities and whatnot. And really, I think YouTube has lost that. You look at YouTube now and all the videos are basically corporate media videos. I mean, there's still some small stuff out there, but I think YouTube is by and large, and the original intent has been replaced by TikTok. I mean, that's where people are now that are producing little videos. Of course, they're all short, but you know, that's where people have gone that are like amateur content creators that think they have something funny to say, or they might want to make a quick political opinion or whatever. I think all of that original user base has now migrated to TikTok, and now you have the corpse of YouTube running around putting up their corporate media videos and acting like, oh, this is what everybody wants to watch. I mean, who the hell goes on YouTube? Because YouTube's algorithm, as you've pointed out, Sven, is broken. And because it's broken, like, you go on to YouTube and I look at the videos they suggest for me, and there's no reason they should be suggesting these to me. But why would anybody go on YouTube to watch a video of CNN? They could just tune in to CNN. Why would anybody go on YouTube to watch a video that's, I don't know, a rerun of a TV show? They could just watch it on TV. I mean, they could do that on any number of platforms. So they're not really offering anything unique here. They've just got, it's like watching this corpse. It was a neat idea when it started, but now it's dead, because like I say, the amateur content creators that are doing things in a video format, they've all migrated over to TikTok, and because TikTok is a lot less restrictive. I know people still get banned from there, but it seems it's a lot less restrictive, a lot less ban happy than YouTube, which I'm sure will mean that soon they'll have to be converged as well and go off mission and start destroying themselves. They have to start destroying themselves as well by banning everybody has anything to say. We'll just get TikTok videos from Don Lemon or somebody from CNN, maybe from the White House. We can see Jen Psaki doing like a rap thing, a 15-second TikTok rap video, or maybe a 15-second video of Joe Biden. But I don't think he could stay coherent for that long. So, yeah, you know, I think YouTube is pretty much dead and it's been replaced by TikTok. They've lost the plot completely. And now they're just running around in circles doing this nonsense.
Well, yeah, if they talk about this is to protect all creators, why didn't they protect Red Ice then? I think they were well on their way to getting 1 million subscribers. Why didn't they protect Red Ice from getting banned? And I have a suspicion this fear for physical safety after somebody disagrees with them is more revealing about the character and the mentality of these people that are doing this, because I think they're the sort of people that if they disagree with somebody, they're going to get physical with them. I mean, this is what we see with Antifa constantly trying to shut down nationalists and thinking that it's okay to use violence against people that have a different opinion to you. So this is really quite revealing about YouTube themselves, but it is difficult to say how well Koval's explanation was received, as the dislike counter on his video was hidden. Of course. Grandpa, have you got any final thoughts on today's episode to finish with?
Well, I think that last sentence they put on there, I mean, it's a good wind up of the whole thing. You know, get rid of all negative feedback. And again, try to give this impression that everybody agrees with the narrative. Everybody agrees with one single point of view. See, and you're supposed to think, well, nobody disagrees. Everybody thinks the exact same way. It's nonsensical, but that's of course what they're attempting to do all this and with all of this rather. And as we've been saying all along, it's just the next level of censorship. They've already banned anybody that can give an opinion contrary to it. Now they're just going to ban anybody even being able to in any way, shape or form say they disagree with the narrative.
Well, I do recommend people use Odyssey as an alternative to YouTube, and maybe eventually we'll see the Russians putting out a YouTube alternative. The Odyssey definitely seems the best one at the moment. They are committed to free speech. And we do actually have a Radio Albion channel on Odyssey if you want to check us out over there. So thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.